another edition of Guerrilla Radio coming at you this evening. That's right, it's Thursday, the 6th day of February, and, well, we've got another full show for you this evening. War, 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 and more war. I can see the doctor is chomping at the bit to get talking about Iraq and or one Colin Powell's speech to the UN. I think we're going to get moving on that fairly early in the hour. But there's plenty to be said. As per usual, we're going to open it up with this day in history to get those juices flowing and remind you of some things that have happened in the recent past and way, way, way back there to get you inspired and or angry up the blood. And we'll have updates from around the world from peace initiatives that are sprouting up like weeds, they are, despite the cold weather. Plenty of community announcements, too, to keep you on track for the coming week. Hopefully you'll stick with us here on Guerrilla Radio, and I think that we've got a pretty full show for you, just about as much as 45 minutes can handle. So stick with us, and I'll be back. Guerrilla Radio is on the air. Thanks for tuning in once again, and thanks for all your support there last week with the CKDU funding drive. A lot of folks showing their support, and we always appreciate that. Nice to know that you're out there listening, tuning in wherever you may be, and it was good to feel that support so very much in that last week. We did really well. We easily surpassed our goal thanks to your help, and another couple of days. Monday, they're going to open up that prize room, and those of you who pledged on our fine radical prizes can get in here and pick them up. Of course, that means that the doctor's going to have to put that CD together. I know someone picked up one of his anti-American sentiment hip-hop masterpieces there, and hopefully that'll come together. We're about to start the show up, of course, with This Day in History, but maybe before we do, we could tell folks what we're excited about today. What's what are you looking to talk about, Doctor?
Okay, well, we've got 9 tracks of the CD. I think we're going for a 12-track CD, so we're getting there. Luckily, we have till Monday to put together the anti-American hip-hop CD, which is going to be available probably for distribution underground to pay legal defenses at the February 15th demo that's going to be happening here in Halifax and all across the Western world. We'll talk more about that later in the show, but I think today is going to be the day we've taken on pretty much everybody in the Bush administration, and I think today it's Colin Powell's turn, because his performance in front of the UN Security Council yesterday cannot go without comment, because... Well, we're going to talk about it probably for a good piece of time here on Guerrilla Radio tonight.
Absolutely. Anyway, I guess maybe we're ready to get things rolling, get things flowing with This Day in History. What do you think? Are you ready to get on that? All right. I think we're going to move on to This Day in History, as per usual, coming to you at the top of the hour.
On this day in history, 6 February. In 1716, England and the Netherlands renewed their alliance. In 1778, France recognized the U.S. and signed a Treaty of Aid in Paris, which was the first U.S. treaty. 1778, England declared war on France. In 1904, the Russian-Japanese War began. In 1918, women over 30 are allowed to vote in England, not until 1918. 1935, the first election to allow women to vote in Turkey, 17 years behind. 1939, 130,000 refugees crossed the border in Spain, fleeing Franco's fascists. In 1976, in Canada, Native American activist Leonard Peltier was captured and, based on fictitious affidavits generated by the FBI, was later extradited to the U.S. Federal prosecutors later admitted that they didn't have a clue who committed the crime Peltier was convicted for. But what we do know is that the American Indian Movement was under strict COINTELPRO infiltration, and that Leonard Peltier and the FBI still will not admit, neither will prosecutors admit to this day, as Ward Churchill has told you many times here on Guerrilla Radio and on CKDU and elsewhere, the prosecutors won't even admit to this day that he committed the crime. Still, he's caged up as one of the classic examples of political prisoners here in North America. In 1961, Jail No Bail, Jail In movement started in Rock Hill as students were arrested demanding jail time instead of fines. In 1967, the Cultural Revolution in Albania. And, as every week, although Emma Goldman did speak somewhere in the United States between 1898 and 1910, the USSR also performed a nuclear test, sure enough, in 1988. That is this day in history, February 6th. Actually, one more day in history before we go down. Last year, the Royal Bank of Canada occupation, 1 year ago today, February 6th, 2002, in downtown Halifax, in protest of banks making sick money off student loans.
Yeah, I remember that day fondly too. Maybe it's a good time for us to jump right into a little heads up on the events of yesterday, which were, of course, it was the second year in a row, I should say, because it's happened a couple of times that kids here in Halley have walked out of classes and have taken to the street talking about tuition fees. And you're right, I can recall last year there was quite the turnout. There was the bank occupation. Kids marched down to the legislature and entered the Royal Bank of Canada down there on, I think it's Duke Street. And this year, a little bit milder climate. The weather was a little warmer, and a little bit milder group as well. There were fewer folks out, but the sentiment remained the same. You were at that, weren't you, Theron?
Well, what we had yesterday, instead of taking a bank, we occupied the streets. A little bit of a street party. Rhyme for Reason pulled out their political hip hop right on the front steps of the legislature, which you can't really beat that. Dropping rhymes about what's wrong with NAFTA, the GATS, the reasons between economic globalization, predatory capitalism, and the expansion of student fees and the elimination of massive elements of the population to university education simply because it's too damn expensive. And when you're talking about 12% tuition increases on $6,000 tuition, it doesn't take long before that starts to mount, and enormous sectors of the population are left behind, which, of course, is probably the goal. We won't state it, but as you know, listening to Guerrilla Radio, that's what's coming across your airwaves. It's the goal. It makes sense.
Hey, you know what I was thinking? You just cued me into it, because I was having some technical difficulties today, and one of the things that did get lost was our announcements. Often here on Guerrilla Radio, we make a little bit of an effort to throw something out there so that you folks in the community, in the local community here in Halifax, are able to keep up in the coming week. Well, pardon you, and are able to know what's up. So we hit you with a bit of a community calendar, and Rhyme for Reason's actually on that community calendar, those hip-hop kids. Tonight, I'm going to tell you what's going on tonight, because there's a ton of stuff going on tonight. There is, say, a film being screened in the CIBC Auditorium of the Computer Science Building just off University Avenue here. Same boulevard that we, the Guerrilla Radio crew, are located on a Thursday evening. They're going to be showing film, 7 o'clock, in the Computer Science Building Video Active 4, which is a production put together by the TVAC group, the Toronto Video Activist Collective. And, oh, hey, we've actually got a little leaflet there, Johnny's
going to hit you with. The doctor's been flyering, actually, this particular event.
Some of the info there.
We're going to have videos Quebec City, Kananaskis. We're going to have OCAP videos from Toronto. We're going to have Minor Strikes in Sudbury. Video of FTAA demonstrations in Ecuador. Solidarity demonstrations in Whistler, Mexico City, Ottawa. And then we've got Avi Lewis and Naomi Klein's documentary on the IMF bankrupting and impoverishing millions in Argentina this past year, something we've talked a fair bit about on Guerrilla Radio. So yeah, it's tonight, 7 o'clock.
And no one's turned away for a lack of funds at the door. That's the word on the street, that all are welcome. They're asking $3, but whatever you got, it's good enough for these folks, the folks from the Nova Scotia Public Interest Research Group. That's NSPIRG and Zen, the Zapatista Education Network. And then, moving right along, that's what I wanted to tell you about. That's right. We have a benefit tonight, Mission Reunition Part 2, helping to reunite refugee families here in Canada. Rhyme for Reason, joined by special guests, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, $4 at the door if you show up to the Grad House, again, on University Avenue. We're not even going to leave campus tonight. I'm not going to get out of here till late. Well, I've got work to do, but you folks are going to stay. Anyway, the Grad House, 9 p.m. If you want to catch those cats that Johnny was on about just now, Rhyme for Reason. All right. And what else did I want to talk about? We've got...
Does February 15th
count
as a community
right.
announcement?
February 15th absolutely counts as a community announcement. The Halifax Walk for Peace, obviously timed to coincide with international efforts in the peace movement that, as I said, is coming up out of the cracks like weeds, despite the cold weather, and folks all over the world demonstrating. I think that a certain doctor I know was billing it as the largest anti-war demonstration in the Western Hemisphere ever, something
ever.
Like that to be called for. Yeah, certainly people are planning for this all over. I was hitting the newswire today, seeing what I could drum up for you folks to put out on the air to send out to the community tonight. And certainly people are meeting with some opposition in trying to rally against the war, particularly in the belly of the beast. There are folks organizing in New York City, and it's actually the case that people are trying to sue the city for the right to get a parade permit. They're expecting between 50,000 and 100,000 people, and they want to be able to rally and march past the UN down in New York City, and they claim that their rights are being denied them as the permits have not been forthcoming. The reason for this? They're going to snarl traffic. And so people all over the place organizing for this despite adverse conditions.
I believe it, Rob. I was at the World Economic Forum in New York City last year, and there was probably 25 or 30,000 people, and they corralled us around the city with metal gates. All the way, the whole parade route was lined with metal gates, and then they corralled us from there into metal gates that were zigzagged into a large pen, and we spent the demonstration in a large pen with 30,000 of our closest friends, while the NYPD, basically the largest legal street gang in the world, got to just hang out there and watch us. It was pretty shocking. And that's New York City, which is supposedly the hub of dissent for the free world. This is where people get off the boat at Ellis Island and seek a new life and a radical new life. But things have changed in New York City, I guess.
So it would seem. Where are we moving to from here?
Well, I don't know. It's worth talking about the anti-war movement before we launch into Colin Powell's. Colin Powell made his attempt to basically, we'll talk about that after we play some music, but his attempt to rally war in the face of unbelievable, unprecedented public outcry. You consistently get polls, 8 out of 10 people in Western world countries opposing the war. Many of those countries, or several of those countries, at least governments saying they do support the war. I speak here of Tony Blair in particular, where without UN approval, some 7 out of 8 Britons will not support a war. And if Colin Powell's demonstration, which we're going to deconstruct and leave in ruins in a little bit, is any indication, they're not going to get UN approval on this war. And so I think people can sense that. And February 15th, pretty much in every city that you can imagine, there's going to be unprecedented demonstrations. I'm calling 5,000 to 7,000 people on the streets of Halifax, and only the people in Halifax can prove me right or wrong. We had probably about 3,000 people at varying times. Probably we were 2,000 strong pretty much all day at the anti-war demo 2 weeks ago, and we're just 2 weeks more into the propaganda, 2 weeks more into the understanding that our governments aren't going to listen to the people, and 2 weeks closer to Operation Shock and Awe, which we'll also talk about, the massive barrage that's going to befell Baghdad with our money, with our weapons, with our flags on the missiles. And I think you're going to see the largest demonstrations in the history of the anti-war movement in the Western world. And I don't think I'm going to be proved anything but right.
Absolutely. If you've been talking to folks on the street of Halley, just as a quick aside, certainly there seems to be growing support. I actually, having participated, as you yourself did, I know, in that past action, the last anti-war rally, again, starting on the Commons on the 15th, so we'll be able to gauge the size from there, see how they look in comparison. But a lot of folks have spoken to me since and actually been somewhat cross with me, saying I didn't push it hard enough and that they would have been there. So I'm planning on bringing the whole family and helping to swell the ranks that way, and I'm thinking that there are going to be a lot more people out, particularly having seen the popular support that the last one these rallies was able to garner. And this is, of course, going to be the global day of action. So
And what you're saying is really important. We're talking about diverse sections of the population, that don't normally come out to voice their opposition. Or if they do, it's at the ballot box, believing in traditional examples of democracy, which people are increasingly seeing do not work. And now we're having segments of the population that you would never imagine on the street. Your whole family is going to be there, and many people's entire families are going to be there on the street, representing all walks of life. It's a movement that's full, and if you want to be there for the Walk for Peace, there's going to be all different factions there, and something that will represent your political ideology, I'm sure.
Well, I suppose having offered a glimmer of hope, maybe we can move on to break down and bust up some of the lies that come at you via that idiot box on a daily basis. We'll hit you with some tunes, of course, to break it up in the meantime. But I think that that's probably important. We're talking about how this movement is growing, and we often talk here on the radio about popular education and about giving people a nudge in the right direction. So maybe people are ready to listen to some of this stuff, and to get y'all in the mood, maybe we should hit you with a track. What do we have?
We got Mr. Liff on deck, and I think it's worth noting this show, Guerrilla Radio, began out of what we might remember was called the anti-globalization movement, for want of a better term, and that came out of the mass protests that came out of that time and wanting to have an information source. And September 11th happened, and we wondered maybe what happened to the anti-globalization movement, but I think it's been said before, and I think it's absolutely right, that an anti-war movement like this couldn't have just sparked up without having fertile seeds planted. And I think you're going to look to the anti-globalization movement, which is a worldwide movement against predatory capitalism. I think you're seeing fertile fruits of resistance coming out of a couple of, albeit a short struggle, but pretty successful one that's been going on so far in North America. This is Mr. Liff. He's going to tell you the story about that war that we're all supposed to forget about. Remember Afghanistan? Remember Afghanistan that seems like Al-Qaeda's back in there. We'll maybe talk about that a little later. But here's Mr. Liff summarizing the war on terror for you.
And if you're my mom and you don't listen to the tunes, you got 4.5 minutes, 3.5 minutes to go and do whatever it is you do when you turn that radio way, way down, and then you've got to be back. All right.
Whenever we stand against the flow of opinion on strongly contested issues, a man does what he must. In spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles, dangers, and pressures, and that is the basis of all human morality.
Now let's talk about self-expression, true expression. Open your minds without question, no doubt. Tell me what you're thinking about. Let's try to set aside pride and clout. Can you believe I feel the same exact way you do? You truly do believe these modern ways have fooled you. Systems exist so we never meet each other. Pretty soon from now they outlaw the word brother. And that's true if they see you walking with the crew. If you don't know, that means more than two. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll pull over, hunt you over, kick your ass, might stick to your shoulder. I know it's unjust as if it wasn't enough. If you try to fight back, they're locking your ass up. And Chuck already told you that a cell is hell, but I'm waiting for the phone saw sit for a spell. Call the guard, tell him I'm a piece of God with no beliefs in his streets or his boulevards. I eat rage so my mental is hard, and the heat from my anger just melted the bars. They reach
for their guns, so I put them to sleep. Break the chains and put the shoes back on my feet. He's on the loose with no discernible scars or marks, just the mind of Mandela and the heart of Rosa Parks. So I dip, time to see the governor and mayor. Tell them life ain't fair, see if they care. Well, they do, but only if they're on the air. So they appear to have a heart and make a flare. But they haven't done shit for us, and that's a fact. Their only function is to keep the funny money where it's at, and it causes pain, stress. Ask me if we need a different way of life.
All through the years, man, they kill anybody they want, and nobody cares. And anybody get into a position to do anything about it, get killed.
Line. Bush steals the presidency. He needs the backing of the meek. What could the remedy be? The country's headed for recession, reminiscent of the Great Depression. Our lives worth the world of power, easy question. Planes hit the towers in the Pentagon, killing those the government wasn't dependent on. It's easy to control the scared, so they keep us in fear with their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden this year. Bush disguises bloodlust as patriotism, convincing the living to love operation. Let's get them. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract. Anthrax. Let's further demonize as Afghanis, so Americans cheer while we kill their innocent families. And what better place to start a war? To build a pipeline to get the oil that they had wanted before. America supported the Taliban to get Russia out of Afghanistan. That's how they got the arms, and they're in a war against the Northern Alliance. And we can't build a pipeline in hostile environments. Here's what your history books won't show. You're a dead man for fucking with American dough. They're killing several birds with one stone while you're at home with anti-terrorism up in your dome. But my eyes are wide open and my TV is off. Great, cause I save on my electricity costs. And you could wave that piece of shit flag if you did, but they killed us because we've been killing them for years.
We're back.
That song is so amazing.
I'm a pretty big fan, I gotta tell you. I was only recently exposed to that feller's tunes, Mr. Liff, and I'll tell you, it's one of the doctor's gems for sure.
You're gonna see that on the anti-American mix. How about that line with anti-terrorism all up in your dome? Ain't it so true? That whole Def Jux crew is gonna be appearing on the anti-American CD, which you'll be able to find at the February 15th demonstration that the lucky caller who donated to the show last week is gonna get. And you can also get it at Squeakless at Ziplip, and all funds ziplip.com, and all funds go to legal defense to pay for the bogus charges that are straddled on activists for simply doing community work.
I get another brief interjection on that note. One more of those announcements that we lost. Fundraiser for activist legal defense tomorrow night at the Khyber. $3, starting early. No, actually, you know what? $4, 3 bands. So you just think of it as that extra dollar going to get your friends out of the clink. How's that?
And let me just say this, too. I think that the fact that those mass arrests at the G7, which were all bogus arrests, which were chased down by cops, we talked about it all the time here on Guerrilla Radio, but they came out ready to go, and then they went, the cops, that is, and the bogus charges stemming from that. We're talking about a legal debt bill, and there's no point in pretending to be secretive about it. There's a legal debt bill of several $1,000, basically in the double digits, about $12,000 that need to be raised for these charges, because there are several dozen charges, and again, they're bogus charges. They're probably the people that live next door to you that you see every day. These are the people in your neighborhood. That's just came into my head from Sesame Street, but that comes from a childhood with television, I guess, which we can say is Colin Powell's favorite tool, the television. It was pretty, that was a nice segue, eh?
Absolutely. That was a beautiful segue. You didn't know where he was going with that, and then slips it right in there.
Colin Powell yesterday.
That's where it's coming from. Hey, you know what? quick heads up, as we're at about the, well, we've got 20 minutes left. Maybe we tell people how they can get in touch with us and let us know what they think about what's about to get said and what's been said thus far.
GorillaRadio@ziplip.com. That's two R's, two L's.
GuerillaRadio.
There you have it. Let us know what you think. A couple listeners out there. Jackie always lets us know that she's listening. Very few other people let us know, but I hear on the street that that people are listening out there. And so I'm going to say it again. We're calling for 5,000 people on the streets of the 15th of February. So let's see if we can hit that target number.
Hey, you know what? I got one more thing. You keep reminding me of all this good stuff. See, people who write to our address, they often get their announcements on air as promptly as is humanly possible. And Network of Voices for Action and Education, I think that's what they call themselves, a group local to Halifax that I guess sprung up out of the summer's activities that Johnny was alluding to, talking about the protests that came up when the finance ministers were here in town. They are calling for, along with the Halifax Peace Coalition, what's called an emergency response. This happened last year when they started bombing Afghanistan back in October of 2001. And what they've called for essentially is that concerned citizens will turn out in droves at 5 o'clock on the day that the bombs start to fall, and it's looking like that's a foregone conclusion that they are going to start falling. So we're going to throw that out to you as often as is humanly possible now that they've alerted us to that, and try to keep you on point.
Novi also is having a meeting next Wednesday at the Brunswick United Church to talk about civil disobedience and direct action. Civil disobedience being the focus, taking this one step further. Nonviolent civil disobedience is going to be discussed again by all members of the population. I went to one of those meetings a little while ago, and I was pleasantly surprised at how many different factions of the population are represented. It's good stuff. So now that we know how to act, let's run over why we've got to act.
Yeah, let's get to it. Down to business. We got 20 minutes left, so I think we've got plenty to say.
Colin Powell presented the case yesterday before the United Nations, as I'm sure we all know by now. If we don't know much about it, it was on the front page of the papers. There's not too much to recap besides ridicule. My housemates will attest to the fact that yesterday, as I was watching the CBC report, I was howling. I watched the 11 o'clock report, and they had watched it at 10 o'clock and gone back to do their thing, and could just hear the doctor in the living room howling away at Colin Powell. Let me tell you, with Adlai Stevenson's Cuban Missile Crisis famous Security Council presentation with the overheads showing conclusively the nuclear weapons that were going to be used from Cuba to be launched at Washington, D.C., luckily JFK saved the day, but Adlai Stevenson laying that case out before the United Nations, let's just say Colin Powell was not that. It was a pretty poor showing. Namely, what we were waiting for was some sort of conclusive evidence about these weapons of mass destruction that everybody's been looking for so long but haven't been really able to find. And we thought we were going to be hearing about something that the UN inspectors were not allowed to talk about or something like that, because we know that the UN weapons inspectors reported just the other day and came up with nothing. The only problem is that Saddam is maybe not being as good as he could opening up his facilities, but they've come nowhere near finding any of these weapons. The most they've found is 12 warheads that were empty that have a maximum range of 12 miles, which is pretty impressive stuff. So we thought that Colin Powell was going to pull something out. He didn't pull anything out, but he said some funny things. He said that he showed trucks with he showed X-ray shots of trucks on overheads on PowerPoint, I guess it was, showing these trucks and showing different diagrams of them and showing the X-ray shot of them. And inside there was these sinister cauldrons and tanks, big water tanks, which of course were not water tanks, they were chemical tanks. And these lorries, 16 of them, 18 of them it might have been, he's saying are driving around Iraq evading the weapons inspectors as if they're in 18 trucks, the back of 18 wheelers, you're going to have weapons facilities. Robert Fisk reported on the dinky illustrations of mobile biolabs whose lorries and whale ray trucks were in such perfect condition that they suggested the Pentagon didn't have much idea of the dilapidated state of Saddam's army. And once again, Dr. Robert Fisk drops a bomb in here where knowing far more than any of these government officials do about the region, he just laughs his way through his articles in a scathing critique. It's not really laughing unless
he was golden today. I have to say, he was absolutely golden today. Maybe we can give people a heads up on an address where they could get that whole article, because that was how I started my day today. Ran into the doctor in a laboratory full of big gray machines covered in buttons, otherwise known as computers, whereby we get so much of our information. And I had to share this one. I know he was on top of it though, because Fisk's a favorite. But maybe we can tell you where you can get a hold of this whole article.
Sure. Dr. Fisk has been in the Middle East for 26 years out of Beirut. He's a war correspondent as well as the Middle East correspondent for the London Independent out of London, England. And you can find that at independent.co.uk. And then you can usually find it pretty prominently displayed. He's won some 26 awards in his 26 years, more than any foreign correspondent. He gives you the analysis that is necessary, as well as the on-site only person. He was the only Western reporter in Afghanistan during the taking of Kandahar, just for example. He was on the ground in the Iran-Iraq War and the Gulf War, in both wars in Lebanon. Oh, that was from last week. Just to remind you to thank you for pledging here on CKDU. Thank you for pledging to CK. Keep CKDU on the air. And back to Colin Powell's presentation. He had these wonderful. So the trucks. Okay, so check mark the trucks. You can go to London Independent to check this out by Fisk. He goes point by point. Over on the overhead all night. He being Colin Powell, the ex-general. Head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the first Gulf War, had a CNN-esque sign portrayed on the wall that said, Iraq, failing to disarm, denial, and deception.
And deception.
With arrows pointing in opposite directions and sort of, what's that, it's sort of pulsing like a computer screen does, just sort of denial and deception pulsing through the Security Council. It's you know, if Kurt Vonnegut was writing about this, you'd call it black comedy, you'd call it science fiction. When you read it in CNN, it's called Realpolitik, and it's the way the empire is done. And this was basically, had to have been a domestic ploy, because there's no way the international community is buying this. I haven't heard a word other than from liberals. The far right wing says they didn't say enough, and the left wing says clearly there's nothing going on, and scholars in general are pretty much in agreement that Colin Powell showed nothing new.
Although, if he only had a brain, the straw man's on side. He's true. Yeah, he's into it. Jack Straw.
Jack Straw, who would, by any definition of war criminal, his affairs with NATO in Serbia, creating the ethnic cleansing, starting the bombing in Kosovo, which we won't talk about here because we've got so much on our plate. But Jack Straw, he's on side for sure.
Too many connections to draw, and only 13 minutes to do them in. So we're gonna keep on moving on, and I'm gonna quit jumping in here.
We've got, what's the other one that's hilarious? Okay, here's where Colin Powell's whole thing falls apart. When he says that Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda have had links that go back decades. Okay, decades. And as you know, if you've been listening to Guerrilla Radio with any kind of regularity...
What was Bin Laden up to a decade ago there, Johnny? Well, I'm sorry, what was he up to?
He was a commander for the Mujahideen, who were accepting $4 or $5 billion in American aid, an attempt to battle the Soviet Union, who had a proxy government, having things like women in school and jobs for all and social benefits in their crazy pinko way that the satellite states always did it. But what we have here is decades ago, even though, as you know, Al-Qaeda is only 5 years old, which is problematic. But I discussed this with a couple of friends, and I don't know if Ben got to a radio in time, but I was talking to him today in the grad house and mentioned this decades-old contact between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. And he said, of course it's decades old. when they were both getting money from the CIA in the 1980s, they were probably talking about how to spend it on weapons, chemical, biological weapons that they can use as stockpiles to later attack the United States. But all kidding aside, Saddam Hussein is a secular leader. Saddam Hussein is a CIA puppet dictator, as we all know, that was propped up by the United States 35 years ago in an attempt to quell pan-Islamic nationalism in the Middle East. Okay, we've told this story many times, but I'm going to tell it again because this whole Al-Qaeda-Saddam link is the epitome of the BS that we're getting served and that we're supposed to rally behind our governments while they go and massacre hundreds of thousands of more Iraqis because of these chemical and biological weapons and connections between September 11th and Saddam Hussein. In 1990, in August, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, one day after meeting with April Glaspie, the United States ambassador to Iraq, who gave him a green light saying, we have no comment in inter-Arab relations. 3 days later, Saddam Hussein attacked Kuwait for what he said were raising OPEC levels above OPEC levels and slant drilling a disputed oil field that lay between the borders of Kuwait and Iraq. Right around that time, Osama bin Laden flew from Sudan to the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia, the monarchy that is propped up by the United States to rule Saudi Arabia. He said to them, let's use an indigenous force of Arab nationalist force to repel Saddam Hussein, the hated secularist. Let's get him out, okay, with an indigenous force of elite Mujahideen rebels who had just finished, as they thought, and could well maybe be the case, toppled the Soviet Union after the 9-year Russian war in Afghanistan, and the Soviet Empire crumbled shortly after that. And as we know, Osama bin Laden takes credit with the Mujahideen for collapsing the Soviets. So riding high and soldiers that got rid of the Russian Empire with American money, with American training, with American support, Osama went to the House of Saud and said, let's use an indigenous force. The House of Saud said no.
That doesn't sound like he's Saddam's friend at all, John.
That doesn't sound like he's his friend at all. He's hated, and he's hated in the entire region because he is a secular leader in blocking. He's also a tin pot dictator, but let's leave that aside. This connection between Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda is a threat. 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes left here on Guerrilla Radio. Al-Qaeda is a threat. Let's be serious. Al-Qaeda is an A-list threat to the United States, as Fisk reported yesterday. We're going to crutch on Robert Fisk, as we always do here on Guerrilla Radio. You can check him out for yourself. This is all from the ground. He was in Afghanistan recently. It seems that Al-Qaeda has again gained a foothold in Afghanistan. The stories are familiar. Women being kicked out of school in the north, being fired from their jobs, being sent away for not being covered, and such Taliban-era Al-Qaeda details going on again in Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda is a threat. There is no doubt. They're well-financed. They're all over the world. They're way ahead of the pathetic CIA. There's no doubt about that. And they are a threat. Saddam Hussein is, on the other hand, not a threat to anybody. Saddam Hussein's borders have not moved in the 35 years since he took power. They have not moved one inch. Okay, the only country in the Middle East whose borders have moved in that period are Israel's, who is also, by the way, the only country to not have any borders, as well as the only country to have nuclear weapons that are undeclared. So we're talking about the expressions of war falling apart around the international community. You know, when you're talking to the Security Council with countries like Libya and Syria on the Security Council, they know exactly what's going on in the Middle East, and they're not afraid of Saddam Hussein. They're afraid of Israel. They're afraid of the United States. And as the CNN Europe poll we talked about last week showed, unregulated poll, 90% of respondents said that of the four countries, the three axis of evil countries in the United States, that the greatest threat to the world was the United States. And of course, that is true. So the case between Al-Qaeda and Saddam, just another one of those big jokes that are used to justify, sadistic jokes used to justify war and the lies that begin war. And if we want a brief history of the lies that begin war, it's pretty straightforward. We can go to the Gulf of Tonkin incident for the Vietnam War, the lies about American ships being neutral ships just being sunk when they're actually carrying out war efforts. You can talk about the bogus Noriega bombings, the bombings of Panama in 1989, because Noriega had weapons shipments that were supposedly sent to Cuba, which of course was turned out to be bogus afterwards. You can talk about Serbia like we just did, the so-called ethnic cleansing that was going on. As the New York Times reported, one day after the bombings began, the tide of refugees leaving Kosovo did not begin until after the bombing started, after they fled not only the bombing but also the terror attacks by the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army, which, by the way, was supported by Al-Qaeda and Saddam and Osama bin Laden, excuse me. These are the false propagations that lead to war. As we know, they're long and weighty.
So what I'm thinking is that just now, as time's running down, we're going to break it up. We're going to hit you with one quick tune that I dug out there when the doctor was on his soliloquy. Actually, a Halle favorite that's going to get you in the mood for a little bit of civil disobedience, a little bit of misbehaving, as it were. And you can start thinking about just what maybe you're willing to do to do your part, put your hat in the ring for this anti-war effort. We'll be back with a quick synopsis and give you a heads up on what we're doing tonight, what you ought to be doing tonight, and what you got to be thinking about in the coming week.
I don't know how Colin Powell did, if he's left standing after that attack. I got one last thing to say. The funniest picture, the grainy overhead photograph, which had arrows pointing to Iraqi trucks leaving one end of a compound on December 22nd while UN trucks came in the other end. The thing looked like a comic strip. UN inspectors come in one end and Iraqis leave a trail of dust out the other end. Colin Powell didn't do so well in his defense for war, so we're going to see where this goes. That's pretty much the wrap-up from there. We're going to talk about Iraq. I think we're going to focus on Iraq, if I can be so presumptuous as to say, here on Guerrilla Radio for probably the next month and a half, because we need to use these precious airwaves to get these messages out that are simply not getting out enough. And there is an anti-war movement. There is mainstream journalists speaking out against the war, but usually on very narrow grounds with very obscure reasoning. And we're going to try and hopefully deliver you somewhat of an analysis here on Guerrilla Radio, which will connect the dots. February 15th, Saturday, we've got the anti-war demo that we're going to be leading up to. Next week, we're going to push it hard on the show. We're also going to try and do a couple interviews here on Guerrilla Radio in the coming days. in the coming weeks to let everybody know exactly what's going on about the war. So if every Thursday you want to tune in to Guerrilla Radio here on CKDU, we're going to give you a weekly dose of Iraq, all you can handle. And after that, you can listen to Glenn Coolin and Irish Eddie and the Highland Gack is going to kick you international music to let you mellow out after Guerrilla Radio gets your brain all teased. What are we doing tonight, Rob? We're going to a film, the Video Active 4 film, which was basically a who's who, a what's what of North American demonstrations over the last 2 or 3 years, and Naomi Klein and Avi Lewis's film about the IMF devastation in Argentina. So we're going to be there. It's going to be in the Computer Science Building at Dow, which is one building below Henry Street on University, just a block from the Guerrilla Radio Media Center. There it is, another week at Guerrilla Radio for Ainsley and Rob. This is Dr. Ron.